Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Horror Hangout, a podcast where two bearded film fans watch the best and worst horror movies of all time. My name is Luke Condo with Kate, and I'm joined by my regular co-host, Mr.
Ben Errington.
How the devil are you?
How the devil are you? Just the two of us this week. How does that feel?
It was good. We were going to have a friend join us, but they have been murdered by the ghost of Christmas Halloween.
Look at the ghost of Christmas Halloween. Yeah, difficult time of the year for a lot of people. Can't commit.
Getting murdered. Yeah.
I mean, they'll be on a future episode, so we won't announce who it was. We'll get they'll just appear randomly
like a
spectre in the night, like a ghoul screech.
Insights and opinions. It's Halloween week now, so I feel like it feels like I should be in overdrive with watching and consuming Halloween content. I feel a little bit panicked. Like I'm on the PlayStation store, like what horror game? I haven't even got time to play a horror game. What horror game am I going to play this week before Halloween? Alien Isolation's like a tennis on offer. Ooh. And I think I'll get that, but when am I going to be able to play like a 25-hour, 30-hour game this week? It's not going to happen. I just need to calm down a bit.
Just don't put any pressure on yourself. Consume what you need to. I feel a bit burnt out by things.
Yeah.
Like I think I've watched less this month than I usually would. I think I'm a lot more on it with stuff. And I haven't been playing anything scary either.
It's weird.
Yeah, maybe I've been reading. Burnt out.
I've been rereading a lot of Invincible comics when I should be like reading new stuff, but I think I am the same. I'm quite burnt out, and Invincible is a great comic and I'm rereading it, so it doesn't feel too, and it's quite like a pulpy kind of comic book. So it feels very easy on the brain and fun and
easy on the brain.
That's what I need right now.
It's nice. Nothing though. It's like something familiar and that gives you comfort that you go back to all the time. Like
Friends.
I've got, what was that? Friends.
Yeah. Kat watch Friends like once a year.
Oh, you do. Okay. I've got a few. Yeah. Mine's mainly TV, like TV comedies that I tend to return to.
IT Crowd. I guess a lot of watches.
Yep, sure does. Alan Partridge, Peep Show.
Yeah.
Flight of Conchords, I feel like, is the ultimate one for me. I think I've told you that before. That's like,
I need to watch them again. It's been far too long. And it's such an influential piece of like content. Like the person I am today is probably a lot to do with the Flight of the Conchords, those two albums and seasons.
Oh yeah. I think, and without trying to be overdramatic, I genuinely think it's got me through some. I think at my darkest times, I've been like huddled up in a ball on a sofa watching Flight of the Conchords. Thinking I'm not crying. But like, you know, sometimes when you do things like that and you look back at it, you're like, I could probably never watch that again because I was in a bad place. But now I feel like, no, I do. I want to watch it back and say, thanks, lads.
Yeah.
You got me there.
Did you watch the new live thing in London?
I went to the Birmingham show.
Oh, yeah, I forgot you did. That one. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it was cool. It was delayed, wasn't it? Because Brett broke his arm, so It was a long time coming. But yeah, good times. Good times.
So I don't know if we've got any horror news this week. I haven't seen any.
A couple of little bits I've seen. So keeping it on topic, considering last week we reviewed Ginger Snaps. Apparently the Ginger Snaps franchise finds new life as a television series. It's headed to the small screen. I don't think it's been reported where it's going to be, whether it's going to be on a streaming service or what. But it's executive produced by John Fawcett, who's the co-creator and director of the original film. So it looks like it's just going to be, as far as I could tell, just from reading the description, it looks like essentially the plot of the film is going to be, stretched out nicely into however many episodes. It could be nice to introduce this story to a new generation. I think after watching it last week, we have a newfound love for that film, especially considering it's the first time I'd seen it.
Yeah. It's cool. It's got the original creator as well. I think that's quite nice.
Mm. Yeah, just overseeing everything. Yeah. Very cool. Also, I think we mentioned this before in previous episodes, but the new Evil Dead, which is the working title at the moment, Evil Dead Rise. Bruce Campbell's said something else. He's gone and said something else, didn't he? But he says it will put heroin up against urban deadites. So apparently going to be in a high rise / skyscraper, isn't it? So
do you think will be what's her name from the remake?
Yeah, see, that's what I was kind of thinking, but I don't think she's officially been cast or connected to it at all. He says we're gonna have a heroine, a woman in charge, and she's gonna be trying to save her family. So whether she's
it'd be interesting. It sounds completely different.
And it'll be interesting to see it in a new. I mean, I didn't really persevere with Ash versus Evil Dead. Did you?
I think I dropped off after the first few episodes. No, I think I finished the season actually. It was good. I mean, the first episode, it was directed by Sam Raimi, and the first episode was pretty amazing, but it did kind of drop off in quality a little bit after that. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I'd like to watch it. It's all on Netflix now, isn't it? So,
how is it? I only made it a few episodes in, and it's weird because I liked it. But it's just my relationship with TV series. Sometimes I just get to a point where I get distracted, find it hard to go back to it. How sad.
Yeah.
What else? So John Carpenter, he's releasing Lost Themes Free, Death is coming out in February. I think he's released one song from it, which is called Weeping Ghost. I love this stuff. This is like the best, I think you agree, but it's like some of the best like writing music.
I actually had it on the other day. I had Lost Themes 2 on the other day. It's perfect to put on.
Bloody lovely. Have you seen a few little clips of the master on Twitter recently as well? Just talking about David Cronenberg, talking about going to the horror fan dinners. That's it.
And he's talking about how Eli Roth has got let the new people have it. Eli Roth with his Hollywood hair. Darren Aronofsky, he secretly hates horror films. He's just says, I'll just stay home and play Xbox or something like that. Yeah. What a cool guy.
Yeah.
Keeping it real.
Cool exactly. I mean, it's a shame to think of people like David Cronenberg, who I think John Carpenter had a good relationship at one point. So, takes himself too seriously, apparently. Who's to say? Who knows? But still interested to find out little things and find out about the relationships of some of the greats. I'm only saying Carpenter and Cronenberg there. Not Eli Roth. Sorry, mate, with your Hollywood hair and you.
I would put Aronofsky in one of the greats, but not so much as a horror type.
I don't think you could in terms of horror, could you? Even though I remember when Mother came out, a lot of people were saying it's potentially like an alternative horror film, but I never really got that vibe. And then last but not least, I've seen that Shudder have announced a virtual Halloween event called Shudder Fest, secret screening of a future Shudder original, and that is on the 31st, so that is on Saturday. So it's going to be a free day-long global celebration. And then there's going to be a Shudder members only secret screening of a future Shudder original. Saying the word Shudder a lot in one sentence, very strange. But yeah, there's going to be like virtual hangouts, people like the makers of various films like Host and Scare Me are going to be involved talking about various things. Yeah, should be cool. I think cool. People like Robert Englund, Lance Henriksen, Kane Hodder, that's Jason, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it's Jason. Big bad Jason. Yeah, so that's that. That is it for horror news. Are you doing anything special for Halloween?
I don't think so. I'm trying to make a horror game this week for Halloween. Like a 2D platformer horror game thing. So if I get that done, it'll be free. I'll just put it online. It won't be very good. But if I get that done, I'll put it in the Facebook group if people want to play a little 2D scary game.
Yeah. Sounds exciting. I've seen some clips of it on your Twitter. Looks. I was watching a clip on your Twitter earlier. I was waiting for a jump scare of some sort. And I wasn't disappointed. Yeah. I wasn't disappointed. I think I was ready to switch off at like 50 seconds. About 50 seconds, I was like, oh, switch off now. But then on 54 seconds... was when it arrived, but there we go.
You know it's spooky when you yourself jump when you're trying to like test it or play bits of it.
Oh right, okay.
So yeah.
Sound design's really good. Have you got a title for it currently?
Not too sure yet. It's not a great title. I'll think of a new one.
Yeah, I'm sure. I've got every faith in you. So that's that. That is that. And what have you watched anything?
Yeah, of interest? Just before that, I'm just going to pop my MacBook on charge, get stuff charged. Do you want to tell people about Old Mill Lane?
Yeah, I'll do that. All on my own. Oh, I'm so lonely. Just podcasting with myself now, which is a very strange feeling. But yeah, Hawk and Cleaver's The Other Stories have been premiering episodes of audio anthology, The Halloween Horrors of Old Mill Lane, every night this week at 9 p.m. And it's on Facebook Watch and YouTube. So we're doing like a watch along every night. So he just reappears in front of me as well. That was spooky. That was part of the game dev. Just you reappearing. Are you fucking with me? And it's been pretty good so far. We've had everyone. It's hosted by Emily Booth as well, of the Horror Channel. And it's sounding pretty lovely. People are enjoying it. But yeah, even if you miss an episode, you know, come and join in, because it's an anthology, so each episode is like a new story, written by various writers from The Other Stories and narrators, all the regulars. But yeah, it's been pretty good, and we're trying something a bit different with this old going live episode on Facebook and YouTube, just making a bit of an event of every single episode, and it's pretty fun. I'm enjoying it. Are you enjoying it, Luke?
I am, very much so. I like doing the YouTube live premieres as well. We can like chat about stuff as we're listening. It's good.
Yeah, I like the YouTube thing. On Facebook, it feels a little bit more, I don't know. I've been having some issues with various things on Facebook, so it might have to be. So I think the best place to follow along and watch it would be YouTube, because you can go and find the video. So the Hawk and Cleaver YouTube channel, if you just search for Hawk and Cleaver on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, and then on the individual episodes you can actually click to set a reminder for when the episode will go live, and then you'll get a notification, which is very, very handy if you know doing things around the house, you're not really sure what's going on. Suddenly 9 o'clock comes, bang, you've got 20 minutes of original horror in your face.
Yeah,
audio horror. It's the best type.
Yeah. Other than that, Matt, what I've been watching? I've been watching a couple of things. I saw one thing that I've been meaning to watch for a long time, Baskin, which is like the Turkish horror film. And I've always been kind of drawn to it. I think maybe by the cover image. Have you seen it?
Carol Baskin. Let's have a look. I recognise... Is it fairly... Oh, I was going to say this is fairly new, but is it 2015?
Yeah, so... Yeah, fairly newish.
Yeah, I see. It's like a little keyhole on someone's forehead, right?
It's a good poster image, yeah. So it's kind of like a police department get called to this certain place, and they go to it, and they end up stumbling across this, like, it becomes kind of otherworldly. It's like they've kind of gone into this, like, other place where they shouldn't go, and it's like a black mass. And if you just want some visceral horror, because there's one particular scene which is fucking disgusting in a really great way. Like, if you're like a horror gore kind of person, then it's amazing. In terms of story, it's a bit flat. Like, it doesn't seem to go anywhere, but for just some guys rock up to a hellish place and horrible stuff happens, it's pretty great.
Definitely
work. I'd say watch it. There's one guy in it who's the freakiest looking thing I've ever seen in my life.
He's the freakiest looking thing.
If you've seen it, you'll know what I mean.
Okay, I got you.
What about you with your hammer?
With my hammer. So yeah, sorry, I've got a hammer because it's on my desk in front of me, and I can't help but touch objects. You know, that's my problem. You know, what have I been watching? I've not watched all that much. I finished The Boys, as I may have mentioned last week. I think that's great. A great sort of takedown / send up of the superhero genre. And it's, you know, super gory and violent and full of swear words and awesome, ridiculous moments where you go, what the hell am I watching? Highly recommend it.
Yeah, there's a few bits like the whale, I remember being a bit.
Yeah, the whale.
There's
so many moments where you're like, oh, what? This is ridiculous, but I fucking love it. In terms of horror, considering it's the week before Halloween, I've tried to watch a couple of things, but I've not really been that great at it this week. I did see the remake of The Witches. So this is the Robert Zemeckis remake of the 1990 Roald Dahl adaptation of the book
Robert
of the same
Zemeckis
name.
Made it. I didn't know it was Zemeckis.
Zemeckis, but also, I think producer-wise, I think we've got Guillermo del Toro, and
no, he's producing everything, isn't he? You'd be surprised.
He's producing everything. Come on. There was someone else's name. Alfonso Cuarón. Who made Roma and Gravity and...
Yeah.
That's his name, isn't it? Is that how you say his name? Yeah. That dude. Anyway, so serious heavy hitters where I'm like, well, this has got to be good, isn't it? But yeah. I didn't want to be that guy because, you know, I'm always up for new versions of things, but I felt like it was a bit too one note and sugar-coated to succeed as like a new adaptation of this story. It just felt a bit like the original, obviously, yes, terrifying, and the visual effects, the sort of makeup effects are amazing, but I genuinely felt worried for the kids when they were getting turned into mice, and I felt like, oh my god, they're gonna die, oh god, what's gonna happen? This, it just felt a bit silly.
Yeah.
Like, all the way through. And some of the CGI that we see with Anne Hathaway's good as the Grand High Witch, but something about when the CGI starts really getting going, very rubbery, and I'm just like, there's a couple of good ideas in it that I think that come across well. And the grandmother's played by Octavia Spencer, and she's awesome, you know? But apart from that, I just felt it was a bit bland. A little bit beige, a little bit.
It's weird with
horror jokes,
like practical effects do kind of add danger to a scene. Like, if you know it's CG, and you can tell just by looking at it if it's CG or not. Like, you know, there's no danger. Like, there's some inside part of you that just knows fundamentally that that's not real. But like practical effects, I don't know. You can smell it. You can smell the danger.
You can smell the danger. It's a good. It didn't work for me, but my daughter couldn't watch it when there were the witch scenes. She had to turn away. So it succeeded in scaring like a ten-year-old kid. So for that, I'd say sure.
Well done. But
other than that, I don't know. Just I was quite looking forward to it. And as I said, Anne Hathaway seems to be having a great time. It's like one wrong move away from being awful, though, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Like Anne Hathaway is playing it so close to the bone that it's one moment away from being ridiculous.
Yeah.
Doesn't quite get there, but I mean, watchable with your kids, I guess, but other than that, a bit bland.
I saw a film. It might be one of the most unique horror films I've ever seen in my life. And I know that's hyperbole, but it's true. It's Cemetery Man. Have you heard of Cemetery Man, or do you know much about it?
I think maybe you've told me about Cemetery Man. Have you seen it before?
No, it's first time for me. Okay. It is one of John Crinan's favourite films, apparently.
Maybe that was what I've seen. Maybe I've seen him post something about it recently.
So
maybe post DVD.
It's like one of the last Italian Euro horror type movies. So if you think of how could you think about it? So it was made in the mid 90s. It feels almost like those Fulci Italian zombie type movies that you got from 80s. It's got good. They record the sound in the way the Italians do, where they dub it. So it all feels kind of like that.
Is Rupert Everett in it?
It's got Rupert Everett in it.
Okay.
And it's if you imagine one of those Italian horror movies, but it's got more of a sort of Dead Alive kind of vibe to it as well. So it's quite fun and quite stylish, and the camera's constantly moving in interesting ways. The story is bizarre. It's quite funny. It's so weird, and the ending is like Lynchian. Like it's one of the weirdest movies I've. It's such a unique horror movie. I don't think I've ever seen anything like it. I don't know if I'll ever see anything like it again, because it feels kind of its time. Rupert Everett's great in it. I don't know, man. It's you've got to watch it. You've got to see Cemetery Man.
Okay. I'll add it to the list, considering your feedback.
It's one of the ones where I kind of feel like if I watch it a couple more times, it might become one of my favourite movies. Mm-hmm. Like, it feels like it might sneak in there.
Crazy. Looks nuts. And the only other thing of note I've really seen is, a couple of nights ago, I watched Dead Silence, which is a James Wan and Lee Whannell, or Lee Whannell, if we're committing to the Horror Hangout pronunciation.
Lee Whannell sounds like Cockney slang for flannel. Oh,
Lee Whannell, you absolute Lee Whannell. Yeah. I think Andy linked us to a podcast once, or a YouTube video, where they were saying Lee Whannell. But I've heard someone else now say Lee Whannell. So I hear it come out of his mouth, I'm not quite convinced. So Dead Silence was the 2007. I think it was the follow-up to Saw from James Wan. Because it was before The Conjuring, which was 2013.
Yeah.
So quite a while before it, which is odd to think it was like 6 years before that, because it's got some of the same flavor.
I think what happened was they made Saw. It did really well, became a franchise. But then they couldn't get anything off the ground for a while. I think Dead Silence was the film that they made next, but it didn't do well. And then so James Wan did Insidious. So after Dead Silence, they couldn't get anything made for a bit, and they made Insidious on a very low budget. And Insidious, I know you're not a big fan, but it was a really big film for what it did. It did what it was doing very, very well, and it kind of took off in a big way. That became its own franchise, and then from that he started the Conjuring verse. Which is kind of a more refined Insidious, I would say.
I think it is. It's the Insidious it's just more refined. It's Insidious is like granulated, and Conjuring is caster sugar.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I don't know what I'm trying to say. Yeah. But you know.
Insidious is table salt, and Conjuring is have you ever had that Molden
rock
salt?
Rock salt. Yeah.
It's like with little crumbly flakes. Oh, mate, so good.
Yeah. Oh, good. have you seen Dead Silence?
No. No, no.
We have like a dummy and like the ghost of a ventriloquist woman. It's got some good scares, I'll give it that. It doesn't really make, like, the dummy sort of thing is just a bit. I feel like it could have easily existed without the dummy. The dummy didn't like make or break it. It wasn't like, this needs a ventriloquist dummy if it doesn't have it. And it didn't really do anything that dummy movies have done before. But yeah, something about so Donnie Wahlberg's in it. He loves it, doesn't he? I think he's in one of the Saw movies, maybe two. I think he's in number two. But the lead, some guy, Ryan Kwanten, Just like, oh man, just such a cookie cutter lead. Like, literally could have been anybody. Just a guy who's got. It is like his most recognizable feature is that he's got a nice car. That's kind of it. I can tell you one thing about him as a person, but yeah, it's got some all right scares. But other than that, it's probably the most ready salted / brown toast with no butter horror film I've ever seen. I was just like, this is just a basic bitch, like modern horror film.
Interesting. Yeah,
just one of those. But I liked it more than Ouija. That's the most basic bitch modern horror film. But Dead Silence didn't really do all that much for me. I mean, bless him, and no disrespect to him, but as soon as you've seen Donnie Wahlberg's in something, you kind of feel like, again, sorry, Donnie, but you feel like it's already going to be second rate. Something about it where you're like, what, you couldn't get Mark? You got Donnie, have you?
Nah. What is Lee Whannell in it as an actor? I've just realised he seems to appear in all of the films.
Not as an actor. He is just a writer, I believe, on this one. And I'm possibly a producer, but yeah, just a writer. So yeah, that was pretty much it. Yeah, I thought I'd watch another one. And I also decided to check out on YouTube. There's a YouTube channel called Kill Count. I can't remember who told us about this. It might have been Andy. Someone did anyway. But if you don't feel like watching a whole franchise, you can watch sort of like the guy on there summing up certain films. So I watched like The Kills for most of the Saw franchise.
Okay, so, I might watch that.
So yeah, that's pretty cool. So I didn't really fancy watching, you know, all seven movies. I didn't even make it through all these videos, to be fair. I think I watched up to Saw 4. But I will catch up and watch them. And yeah, I could really get my head around what I make of this franchise now, what my relationship with this franchise is. Because in my head, I always went, well, the first one's great, but the rest are rubbish. Mm. But after watching this, I feel differently.
Okay. I'd be interested to know how you feel about it. So the other film I've watched this week was Saw. Should we just get into it? Do you want to tell us a bit about the film?
Yeah, man. So, well, I don't know. I think we decided to watch this because it was just like one of those omissions, I guess. A big, big franchise, post-2000s franchise. So it felt like it was an omission in the podcast that we needed to cover. So it's a 2004 American horror film directed by James Wan in his feature directorial debut, written by Lee Whannell from a story by Wan and Whannell. One and one L. What a double act. They love it. First installment in the Saw film series. So one L was also in the film, as well as, what's his name? Carrie Ewells?
Is that how you pronounce it? Ewells.
I'm inside you. They portray two men. That's good that they portray two men. Be confusing if they portrayed one. Who awake to find themselves chained in a large bathroom, with one being ordered to kill the other, or his family will die. I wouldn't say that's necessarily I mean, it kind of is a synopsis, but I think it's a bit of a bigger synopsis than that. Yeah. But there we go.
So, IMDb, 7.6. Rotten Tomatoes' critic score is 49, but the audience score is 84. I think it's very rare that you get that kind of split there. Letterboxd, 3.5. Some choice reviews. Patrick Willems, who's got a great YouTube channel, says, "It is wild that this movie kicked off a whole torture porn wave of horror when it's really just a clever little thriller with no actual torture. 3.5 stars. I don't know if that's true. Someone called Loitering says, "I saw this movie. 1/2 star. And then called Lucy put, "Every time Hello Zepp starts playing, a part of my soul leaves my body and floats above me for a few minutes in suspended silence until the credits start rolling. 5 stars.
Is Hello Zepp the song that plays when like things are like being revealed? Like, this was the truth all along.
I just think she meant when the take out tape recorder goes, "Hello, Mr." It doesn't say Hello Zepp, but that's his nickname. He goes, "Hello, Mr. Spindle," or whatever his name is.
Okay.
Hello, Zepp.
Hello, that Dave. Okay. Yeah. Go on.
Well, I don't know, man. I mean, it feels of its time, 2000s-ish. It feels like they're trying to go for a Seven vibe, David Fincher, which I didn't really pick up on before. but I don't think it's as smart or as cool as Seven. Like, this does have some cheesy kind of, you know, the shots where it cuts someone like shaking the head in like double speed. Do you know, you know what I mean?
There's loads of that.
Yeah.
Some of the editing is like nuts. It's like someone's gone, right?
Yeah. Although, I mean, reading about the production, I think they shot it and edited it in 18 days. So they edited it at the same time as shooting, which is mental. Yeah. So, and I think they shot the bathroom stuff in I think 4 days, I think it was. And also, like, just reading about cool little things, like they didn't have a way to film the car when there's a car chase, or they kind of made a room really foggy, turn off all the lights, had the headlights going through the fog, and just shook the car to make it look like it was moving through like nighttime. So it's really, I mean, cool, that's the way to put it together. And if I hear about stuff like that, it makes me kind of go, all right, I don't mind the cheesier stuff or the stuff that doesn't quite work, because obviously you were kind of just doing whatever you could to make the movie happen.
Yeah. What is your relationship with the Saw franchise? Because I know you've mentioned that you've seen Jigsaw, which is the latest one, which I haven't seen.
It's one of the most frustrating cinematic experiences of my life, Jigsaw. Just because that ending, I mean, just because some of the reveal was bad. But I mean, so Saw, I remember watching it with my friend through, who had a dodgy DVD that he brought over. And we watched it in my bedroom. And I remember the reveal happened at the end. And we were like,
do you mean this film? You don't mean Jigsaw, do you? You mean this film?
This film, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I thought you were still talking about Jigsaw. I was like, that came out like 3 years ago. Yeah, okay. Sorry, what were you like again?
Well, we were like, what? Like, our like 14-year-old brains, I don't know how old we were, like, couldn't handle that twist at the end.
Yeah, I mean, it's twist delicious, isn't it?
Yeah. Saw 2, I still liked, but anything after that, I kind of lost track of, really.
So I've only ever seen the first 3. And I think what happened was I was so annoyed by Saw 3. Like, I just felt it was taking me for a ride and I didn't want to be on it. And it was every time there was a reveal and then another reveal and then a reveal within a reveal and then a take all those reveals. This is the true reveal. As soon as it was doing shit like that with me, I just went, I am no longer interested in you as a franchise. I like the trap stuff and I like the, you know, trying to get yourself out. But just the things that annoyed me about it were the reveals. And also, like, Jigsaw's reasoning for certain things.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I think in Saw 3, perhaps.
He's inconsistent even in this one.
Yeah, he's inconsistent. Oh, yeah, even in this one. Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. It's like, why are you punishing these people for these things? Like, it doesn't make a world of sense. If there was genuinely bad people or people you felt like could redeem themselves by doing one thing or another, then...
Yeah.
Back on this film quite fondly, thinking it was a real simple version of the Saw.
It's more simple, but it's not as simple.
It's not. No, it feels, now I've gone back to it, I'm like, oh, it's not like that at all. It's just as convoluted as the others. And for a film I've looked at fondly as, oh yeah, that one's quite good, it's a really good mystery, I've gone back to it and I've gone, oh my god, it just feels like the set. No wonder the sequels were the way they were, because the original was pretty much like it. It definitely set its stall out, didn't it?
I mean, so Patrick Williams says in his letterbox thing, said it kicked off the whole torture porn wave of horror, but it's really just a clever little thriller with no actual torture. That's not true. It's full of torture. Like, all the way through, there's people crawling through barbed wire. One woman has to kill a guy and get a key out of his stomach. I was like, did that guy have a choice there? Like, what did he do wrong?
Like, what did he do? Oh, you know what he did wrong. He ate his breakfast at the wrong time of the day. Something like that. That's what Jigsaw's reasoning would be. He'd be like, oh, yeah.
And went swimming. You know you shouldn't go swimming after you've eaten. Hello, mister. Your task is to lie there and just die. You son of a bitch. You stole my parking spot, Dave.
This guy drank an orange juice 5 minutes after brushing his teeth. What an idiot.
Dead.
You deserve to die now. It doesn't quite make sense. And I just hate the something about, so I think Tobin Bell's a good actor, but something about him as Jigsaw, I just find a bit annoying, where I'm just like, oh, get over yourself.
Yeah.
For God's sake. I mean, you're good at these traps.
He
and
looks
things,
like
but
someone. He on his face has this expression of someone who's gone down to the pool early in the morning to put the towels down, but there are already towels there.
Fuming,
but not showing it. Like,
yeah, he's just planning something. He's like,
yeah.
Towel down, were you? Well, next time you're gonna open your, you know, unfold your towel, and there's gonna be a fucking scorpion in it. And you're like, oh, hair trap.
Yeah.
So it kind of annoyed me. I'm trying to remember this one because I've watched the videos now with all the deaths in it and stuff. But like, I think I don't know how complicated it gets with 4, 5, and 6 and 3D or whatever was next. I'm sure a lot more. But in that first 3 movies. It's so, I mean, already it's so complicated. It's got like the lore is like Lord of the Rings level. Like,
I mean, we're ripping on it now, but I mean, at the time it came out every Halloween, I think. And I think that was one of the selling points. I think people liked to go and go, oh, what's going to be the twist this time? I think that was one of the reasons people went to see it.
And I mean, some of the trap, well, you say traps, but you know, mostly it's just like something attached to you and you've got to get it off.
Yeah. But
most of them, you know, are pretty good. Some of them are a bit like, oh, it's the same version of the previous trap. What was that?
Fingers in Bristol.
Oh, bloody, there's hot glue on this. Oh, no, my fingerprints are fucked. Yeah, so, I mean, some bits are iconic, like the doll on the little bike.
Yeah,
why not? I just like the mystery of it, but in following films, they sort of showed Jigsaw setting up the traps from like previous films, and I was a bit like, do we need to see that? It's almost like seeing under the hood as such. It feels unnecessary.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, so who we got in this film? We've got Lee Whannell, who plays one of the guys who wakes up in the room. By the way, Lee Whannell, I just read here, is 5'6". I did not realize he was that height. I mean, it kind of makes sense, I guess.
So obviously, it kind of makes sense, man. He's on his knees for the most point, or is he? Who knows? So obviously,
he was pretty good. I thought Lee Whannell, as it says, introducing Lee Whannell, this must be his first film.
So he's getting to a point where he's like horror. He's almost like horror royalty now, isn't he? Because he's made Upgrade. He's made the Invisible Man, and he's going to be making the new Wolfman. So he's done all right for himself, mind. Can't deny him that.
Yeah, he's found his genre now, hasn't he? Of like kind of more evil Black Mirror episodes, or so like with Upgrade, it was the cyberpunk kind of Black Mirror thing, and then he had the Invisible Man who's wearing a suit. I wonder how he's gonna do the Wolfman. I wonder how technology is gonna come into that.
Just gonna have like just gonna get Ryan Gosling to go crazy growing his body hair out.
Yeah,
scary fingernails. Yeah, but I think he's done well because considering like he was in the Insidious, it looked like he was writing for a lot of Insidious films. I think there's only so far you can go with films like that. I think you definitely need to move on at some point to risk getting typecast as I guess that's what James Wan did as well. The fact that he's made things like Aquaman, Fast and Furious 7 since then, he's just gone right. I can do the horror stuff and I will do the horror stuff, but also look at Aquaman and his hair.
He, I think I read somewhere or listened to a podcast ages ago, and I think that was what he kind of wanted to do from the start, was to do big budget Hollywood sort of franchise movies. But he got typecast doing the horror stuff. Problem is, he is very good at doing them. Obviously, I mean, he's built 1, 2, 3 franchises, him and Lee.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you.
Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, of course. That's pretty nuts, isn't it, when you think about it? When you think about how, you know, because if a new Conjuring film came out tomorrow, people would be lapping it up. Whereas
you say that, but that one came out about the bad room, like where they keep all the stuff. One came out, and I don't think anyone knew about it or went to watch it. It's like an Annabelle sequel or something. Annabelle Comes Home.
I kind of meant a main Conjuring film, like The Conjuring 3 or something. I don't know, the extended universe of The Conjuring, I find a bit, you know, wasn't La Llorona one of them? Wasn't that involved somehow? And then the Annabelle films, I've not seen that.
The Annabelle prequel's pretty good. It's directed by David Sandberg, who did Lights Out, which wasn't that great. The short film's great. And the Ouija prequel's pretty good. Mike Flanagan. That's not the same universe. I get confused, because they're all kind of similar.
Yeah. I know what you mean. Exactly. It's annoying, isn't it? What's the current big horror franchise there, would you say? Does anything replace Saw as the, like...
Host.
So here's
everything's going to be on Zoom calls now.
Yeah.
Host is
probably
one of the biggest movies ever
hosts.
Now.
Host Zero. All that stuff. But we are supposed to be getting a film called Spiral, aren't we, with Chris Rock, which is going to be like a Saw, I'm assuming it's a sequel, like where someone's like a copycat, possibly. I don't know. On paper, it sounds interesting, but I've just got a feeling it's not going to, we're going to get a lot of the same sort of stuff.
Danny Glover is in it, is a detective, David Tapp. I think he must be... this must be a sequel to Predator 2, then, I guess. He's like playing the same kind of guy.
Yeah, that's true. That could be it. Imagine that. He just out of nowhere, he just goes, this ain't the worst thing I've dealt with. You and your little dolly. Oh, fucked up all the Predators. I went on the Predator ship and they gave me an old gun.
Yeah. That'd be cool if he had that old gun on the wall. Just as a kind of...
That'd be badass.
Yeah.
I'd love that.
Okay, so...
We said Kerry Eels, who's like Lawrence Gordon. He's the other guy who wakes up in the bathroom. And then there's like police detectives and people who have been victims of Jigsaw. Obviously, one person who's probably the one we should remember is Amanda Young, played by Shawnee Smith, who we see her escaping a trap. She's like pretty much one of the only survivors of Jigsaw so far, aren't we? I'd be fuming if I was Jigsaw. I'd be like, survived, did you?
Fuck her no. Well, yeah. I was reading about some of the sequels. I was like, what happened to Carrie Elwes' character at the end of this? Because he doesn't die, does he?
He turns back up, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, we start off with the best setup in the Saw franchise. I've seen them all. Two guys wake up in a bathroom, really dirty looking bathroom. And they're both chained to big pipes. I mean, that's where a lot of this takes place. Those two trying to work out.
I feel like it would be a much better film. Not to say it's a bad film, because I think it's all right. A much better film if it all took place there. I feel like if everything took place there and we didn't know much about this, I think the reveal, that obviously we're going to discuss, would have a lot more impact.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds difficult to pull off, like 90 minutes just in that one room.
Well, we had what's his name, Ryan Reynolds in a
that was really good. They did really well with that.
Buried, and then we had 127 Hours, which mostly takes place in a little canyon.
I was thinking about that the other day, actually. You know, there's some films that, like, they'll have just one moment or one scene or a little feeling that like are so ingrained in your mind. Every now and again, I think about when he's cutting his arm off.
Yeah,
it kind of weird grinding noise. Yeah. Like it's like a sting, and it, every now and again I hear that, and I like I just cringe a little bit because of the
you hear form. That when you're just carrying your shopper down or something. You're like,
it's just yeah, it's just one of those film moments that I don't know, really stuck with me. It's yeah, kind
of,
so
something about this film just reminds me. I know there is a game of the Saw franchise or Saw the game, whatever. This whole setup and sequence just reminds me of a video game where you're like, right, okay, so there's some items on the floor here, and you know maybe there's an item over there, and there's something on the wall or a mirror, and we've got to do a few things. And I quite enjoy that, watching them discover various things and work out how to use it, especially like when they've got to work together in some way.
I mean, now it's just like being in an escape room. People love escape rooms these days.
Yeah, I've never been in one. Or maybe I have, I've never got out.
He's still in one now. Is that room you're in now an escape room you went to years ago?
You've got to do a weekly podcast with this guy. And one day he'll give you a clue how to get out. How the fuck do I get out, Luke?
Did I tell you about the one in Nottingham, The Butcher? And it's like, it's very kind of Saw-inspired. And like, you're there trying to work out all the clues. Really grimy, really bloody. It's like an 18. And then there's a guy called The Butcher who they say, if you hear him coming, you have to hide because he'll come and get you. And it's incredibly scary. The lights turn off and stuff. Mate, you would love it as a horror fan.
I would love it.
Yeah, so good.
I've never really been to anything like that. I went to the the Resident Evil experience when just before Resident Evil 2 came out on PS4, like the remake. And I did enjoy that, but I find it a bit like, I don't know, not cringe, but just I find myself a bit.
This
I find
is it this to get into the, it. I mean, just Google The Butcher escape room. I don't know if it's open now, but it's not cringe at all. They went all out and making it really quiet, non cringe. Yeah, and I'm like allergic to like cheesy pie stuff.
So, you're allergic to cheesy pie. It sounds delicious. I don't want to be a little cheesy pie.
Too cheesy pie. Okay.
Oh, it's, okay.
From, Hot Fuzz. Anyway, so... Yeah. okay, so they wake up. There's some clues. There's a tape recorder. There's a body in the middle of the floor. I think everyone knows the setup of this. There's one in the floor. It's got a tape recorder. The tapes say, hello, Mr. Wanell. You're not confident or something. Just yeah. like what, ragging on him. You're not confident and your hair's weird.
Your hair's and weird. And has anyone ever told you, you fucking stink?
Yeah. And then Dr. Gordon says, you need to kill Lee Winnell, before 6 p.m., otherwise your kids are going to get killed. Like that, like. Is that in keeping with his thing? Like, because he's actually going to kill the kid and the wife. They haven't done anything wrong.
Yeah.
Maybe they haven't.
And even if they haven't,
she might have cheated on her stats.
Even if they haven't done anything wrong, what's annoying is that the kid and the mum are going to be like scarred for life, essentially.
Yeah.
Because of what he's going to put them through. But yeah, so Jigsaw Killer seems to, he's got like this weird moral compass where he seems to think he's helping people. And obviously it does work with some people, as we see later on. But for the most part, I think he's just annoying, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's just annoying people.
You wake up, you've been jigsawed. You would even... Oh, for fuck's sake.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. In fact, did he get anyone twice in the franchise?
I'm sure he does. I'm sure there's enough Saw content out there. What a knobhead. So we kind of learn about the Jigsaw Killer because Lawrence Gordon has heard of him because he was once a suspect. Can you believe it? So there was someone who, like, was it someone he knew? Oh, that's right. No, what happened was they found his pen light, whatever that is, like a pen with a light, at one of Jigsaw's games. I think it was at
the doctor's showing your eyes.
That's right, yeah, that thing. Still a bit, yeah. And he had an alibi, so it cleared him. But he heard the testimony of Amanda Young, who was one of the survivors, who explains how she survived. So she had a big contraption on her head, which was going to
famous one, like trap game, whatever you want to call it.
But pretty, do you know what I mean? I mean, it's not because it's one of the easiest ones. I don't suppose you have got to kill somebody.
I've got a really big head. I bet Jigsaw will try and get it on in my head and be like, what?
Oh, for fuck's sake. Can't do it. Just make a big one. Instead. It's not going to kill him. Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Yeah, so she has to kill some guy. Well, initially he says, oh, he's already dead, so you just got to cut out of his belly, but he starts waking up. And at no point does she like go, oh, he's alive after all. She just goes, yeah, Abbott. Kill him. We've got the tiniest little scalpel as well.
Yeah, and like we don't know if that guy did anything wrong. He's the guy who drank orange juice and brushed his teeth.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
He drank the last of Jigsaw's orange juice. He was looking forward to it. He was like, I'm going to have a lovely glass of orange juice before I go for the day. And he drank the last bit.
Yeah.
So.
We're introduced as well to Danny Glover and his colleague, Stephen Singh. And they're obsessed. He's obsessed with capturing the Jigsaw Killer. And we find out a little bit more about that why later on. But I think
I almost just feel like already it's going off on too many tangents. Like, I like the tangent of, you know, we've got a police detective trying to find him. And that somehow he's linked to Lawrence Gordon as well. But something about everything kind of being a mystery and being, rather than just showing everything that kind of led up to it and showing everything that's eventually going to go, here's the reveal. I don't know. It just feels a bit too much for me.
Yeah.
Because at one point, Lawrence Gordon is telling a story about Amanda Young, and then she starts telling a story about the trap. So it's a story within a story.
Wow, yeah.
And then by the time you go back to the bathroom, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is what the film's about. Not all this shit.
Also, when Dr. Gordon's telling the story about Amanda telling the story about when she had the trap on her head, is there a point where it flashes back to other points of her life at any point? I feel like maybe there might be some snapshots. Yeah,
maybe. And then when they're in that, she walks past someone and they go, well, actually, I'll tell you a story as well. I saw her one walking past me and I thought she looked nice.
Yeah.
It's just a bit too much and it feels like a bit convoluted in terms of a narrative structure.
Maybe that's what they were going for. It's the Jigsaw Killer, isn't it? Maybe they were trying to go for a puzzle.
That sounds like something they'd say after they've realized it's too complicated. They should have got you on there.
I think the thing is, if they're going to make it that complicated, it should have tied up a little bit neater. It's got a great ending, but it doesn't tie everything up. And it would have been nice if everything, like a jigsaw puzzle, when it slots into place, satisfying at the end.
Just a bit jagged. It's like the final. Yeah. It's like you haven't got the final piece, and you're like, oh, where's the final piece? Can't find it. What am I going to do? That's it. You'll never find it. Unlucky.
Yeah.
So I think around about this point as well, I think lots of stuff's happening in the bathroom as well, but here in the plot summary it says about when David Tapp, Danny Glover, and they basically find, like, using one of the videotapes from Amanda's game with the puppet, they look at some graffiti and they're like, hang on a minute, do you recognize that place? Oh, listen to that. Yeah. That's exactly here, and they know where to go, so they pretty much go to apprehend Jigsaw immediately. But luckily he set up like a seems a bit silly. He set up like a guy in a trap just in case the police arrive or anyone arrives, or is he like prepping a trap or something?
I don't know. But again, what did this guy? This is the guy who put the towels down before him. He's woke up with two drill bits in his earlobes or something.
Not my earlobes.
it's pretty funny because they find him underneath a sheet. And as the Jigsaw Killer's coming back, they put him back under there.
Put back the sheet under, yeah. we'll be right back for you in a minute. So Jigsaw, first of all, he's like dressed like he's going for a boxing match.
Yeah. Why is he wearing that boxing match dressing gown? I was thinking the same thing. Does he have his own entrance music for when he comes back?
That's what I kept thinking. He's got like a satin, like a black. Yeah. Well, I might be remembering it wrong.
Underneath that, is he just satin in his trunks? Why is he wearing that?
Where had he been dressed like that? He'd been to the corner. He nipped to the corner shop.
He's doing like Assassin's Creed cosplay. That's Alfred. Why he's got his like wrist knife thing there.
He has got that as well.
Yeah, wrist blade.
That's exactly it. You've got it.
Assassin's Creed saw this and were like, that's cool, look at it. dressing gown and a knife on your arm.
Dressing gown. It's an easy one to recreate as well, because we've all got a dressing gown. Well,
yeah.
Most of us. And we've all got a knife. We could just sellotape to our arm.
Yeah.
Budget Assassin's Creed. I haven't actually got a costume sorted for Halloween, so thank you. Now, if you see a man if you see a man in a Asda George dressing gown, blue, with a butter knife sellotape to your wrist,
yeah,
then it's me.
Just thinking, why the fuck is he wearing that? That is, I mean, other than to hide his face from,
from, because otherwise he just looked like an old fella, wouldn't he? Like, just, yeah. Oh, just back from the post office.
Quick stamps.
But yeah, he's pretty good. He's pretty good at getting away. Like, obviously, he's got his knife that he slices. He slices bloody Danny Glover's throat, but only a bit, not enough to. Does it kill him? No. But his partner does get killed by a shotgun trap.
He like blows up. Yeah,
he blows up. Well, shotgun straight downwards, isn't it? Not very nice. But
it's a good little trap. It's a good little trap. It does its job.
Yeah. And then he gets away in slow motion in his boxing. In his little boxing dressing gown. There we go.
Yeah. So I think we're speeding on a bit here now. That's why Daniel Glover is now obsessed with finding him. Yeah. He's got revenge on his mind because of his partner.
So he happens to be watching Lawrence Gordon's house while his wife and daughter are being held captive by someone who we haven't seen yet. Or hasn't been revealed to us. So that's why he's watching them. So he's doing this at the same time as the bathroom incident is happening. He's essentially like obsessed with the case. He's not on the police force anymore, but he's still convinced Gordon's the killer. I'm like, you pretty much saw him, did you not? You saw like a old fella. I mean, you must have known it wasn't him.
Yeah.
You saw him.
Also, he spoke to him. Like, Toby Bell's got a very distinct voice.
Yes. What have you done?
Yeah.
Have done something very bad. And then back in the bathroom, they find the saws at this point, haven't they? I forgot about it.
Oh yeah, they found them pretty early on. Yeah.
So there's a bag with like hacksaws, which they have to go for a shitty toilet to find. And then they use the saws to first off try and
cut. That's a really shitty toilet
chain.
As well. Also, he puts his hand in the shit. And then, like, he doesn't even wipe it off.
No, he doesn't. I noticed that.
Why is
he just leaves his hand there. He's like, drip dry.
Shit dry. But, like, he's... Just wipe it off on, like, a shirt or something. I mean,
yeah,
at least on your trousers.
Yeah. But also, with the love heart that was drawn on the cistern bit of the toilet, whatever you call that bit, I would have looked in there first.
Yeah, me too.
Because that's where
especially if you saw the shitty water, you'd be like... Let's look everywhere else first.
Yeah. Let's everywhere. But the heart's drawn on that. Well. Put your hand in that. But they use the hacksaw, obviously, to try and cut through the chains. And when they realize it's not enough. And then one of them mentions, he doesn't want us to cut through that. He wants to cut through our feet. And I was a bit like, would you jump to that conclusion?
Well, that's the point where Gordon's like, I think I know who this is.
Yeah, that's right. So we did jump ahead a tiny bit.
Yeah.
And then around about this point, we see how... Like a couple, how they were basically captured. So they were abducted in, like, I think Gordon gets abducted in a car park. Yeah. But there's this pig masked figure, which is pretty scary, I think. I still find it pretty scary. It's like a pig mask and like a long hair wig.
Yeah.
And that's pretty scary because that's like the jump scare we get, obviously, when they get abducted like that. And later on, I think we see Adams, the way he was abducted as well. He was like in a photo, he was developing photos and then he found the Billy puppet. And then he was like using the camera flash to look around because I guess the lights were working, I can't remember. And then he goes in a cupboard and the pig mask figure jumps out. That was pretty effective, I think. There's something odd about a pig with long hair.
It's just kind of the slasher thing, isn't it, at that point?
Yeah.
Unknown person in a creepy mask. So at this point, we find out that Adam was taking pictures of Thingy.
Yeah.
Because I can't remember why. He gets paid to. Tat was paying him to do it. because Tap thought that Dr. Gordon was the killer. Okay. Yeah.
But in truth, he like sees him going for a liaison with one of his colleagues. When he goes into a hotel, but he doesn't actually do anything untoward. He just goes in and kind of says, I can't do it. Can you do it, lad?
Yeah. Pretty much. So I think he's also seen a photo in Gordon's wallet. And it's got some further instructions about X marks a spot or something like that. And if I actually turn the light off, there's like glow in the dark X. So then they find, I can't remember what they find. Something.
Something. Just before, I think it's a cigarette. Is it a box of the cigarettes?
The poison cigarettes. Yeah.
A lighter and like a one-way cell phone. How does that even work? Like a one-way cell phone. Do you know how that works? Because he tries to call at one point. He can't. And he looks at it and goes, oh, this is what this phone can only receive calls. And I'm like,
it's only one half of the clamshell.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Hello?
Just the ear bit.
Yeah, it's just the ear bit, and you just go, all right, yeah. Oh, you can't hear me. I keep talking, but you can't hear me. Just
tape over the microphone. Like, this is only receiving calls.
Yeah. I keep saying you can't hear me, but I'm saying it again. Yeah. Silly. And then he's obviously trying to plan to give the cigarette. It's all a bit convoluted, this bit where he dips the cigarette in the tainted blood just for the camera to see, so it looks like he's doing it. And then he turns the lights off and says, Adam, go along with this. Pretend you're dying. Yeah, he's definitely going to fall for this. And then Adam smokes a cigarette, does the most ridiculous.
Yeah, I actually quite like that, the fake dying. Yeah. Because it seemed like someone who didn't quite know how to fake die. Yeah, it's good.
How annoyed would you be if you were like the other guy, Lawrence? You'd be like, for fuck's sake, he's absolutely making a meal of this. But then he gets an electric shock. And Lawrence, for some reason, thinks he's faking that. He's like, what are you doing? What are you faking? You ruined it.
Yeah.
You ruined our great acting.
Just because you can't stop pretending to have an electric shock.
Yeah. It's weird. You're even doing the noise that goes with it. How are you doing that? You twat. So obviously, because there's a camera behind, like there's like a one-way mirror. They smashed that earlier. So you see that somebody is watching the whole thing unfold. And anything they think of, someone, Jigsaw killer, whoever, is like one step ahead. But now we sort of find out that Jigsaw's got an accomplice called Zep Hindle, who was an orderly.
We don't know he's an accomplice. We think he's a Jigsaw killer.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
That's
sorry.
That's the twist.
as someone who's obviously seen it before, you know he's an accomplice. Yeah. But somebody who's seen it for the first time, you think this guy's a Jigsaw killer, and it's what's his name from Lost, isn't it?
Ben. Yeah.
He was an orderly at the hospital where Lawrence Gordon worked, and he's obviously keeping Gordon's daughter and wife held captive. But around about now, and we see that he's watching everything unfold on a camera as well, a little video feed, proper like terrible footage. I'll be like, what's going on there? Is he faking the cigarette? Well, what?
Hang on. The phone that can only receive calls, he gets the phone call from the Jigsaw killer, right?
He gets a phone call from from his wife, doesn't he? At some point. I'm not sure.
Well, someone says, remember, poison is... Oh, maybe it's just a little flashback audio. Like,
or maybe it's, something. Maybe it's
poison, yeah.
But yeah, around about this point, the wife and daughter like try and find away from Zep. I'd hate to lose a fight to someone called Zep. Who would you get your ass kicked by? Zep. Yeah, he fucked me up. and while they're fighting, obviously Zep's gun is going off. And that's when Danny Glover opposite sees it. And he's like, right, better get over there.
What a waste of space that guy is, really. He's been planning to save the day and capture this killer for like
so long.
3 years or something. He shoots himself in the chest.
it's pretty annoying, isn't it? I was like, oh, what a way to go. Wait, does he die?
Yeah.
That does kill him, doesn't it? Yeah. So he's obviously fighting with Zep and just his gun goes off.
He lost the fight to Zep. Yeah.
Zep. Remember who killed you? It was me, Zep. See you later.
And just after that, the Predatorship arrives and lets Zep on board, and they give him a gun instead.
They take Danny Glover's gun off of him. They stick it in the air. You loser. Zep then... So basically, his whole chase sequence goes down into some sewers and towards where this bathroom actually is, which is like Jigsaw's lair, Zep's lair, not Jigsaw's lair. And he enters the bathroom to kill Gordon, I think. I think that's what he wants to do.
Yeah, it's gone past the time now.
We've missed something. We've missed the very key moment, which is where desperate Lawrence Gordon wants to save his kids, wants to save his family, sorry, and he decides to hacksaw his foot off.
Yeah, it's pretty grim. Like, you won't forget that anytime soon. Because he's really going at it for quite a while. It's not easy.
Yeah, it would take ages. In Saw 2, Donnie Wahlberg gets out of the same scenario by breaking his foot and then just like smashing it a few times, like the toilet lid, and then pulls his broken, mutilated foot out, but keeps his foot.
Smart,
Donnie Wahlberg. Donnie Wahlberg, what a man.
Yeah. So, and then he gets the bullet, puts it in the gun, and then shoots Adam. Hence, he's now won his game.
Yeah.
But then Thingy turns up, Zep, and then he says, "You're too late."
Too late.
Oh, and then they wrestle him to the ground or something because Adam's not dead.
And he smashes Zep's head with a toilet tank lid and says, "I put my hand in all that shit for no reason." But it's still on his hand. He hasn't wiped it off. So he smears it all over his face. Have that.
Does like a Mr. Socko thing. It's a Mankind. With the fingers. Dr. Gordon crawls out and he looks like he's not going to last like 10 seconds. Like he looks like he's been bitten by a zombie. Like it's not good.
Yeah, his face is like ashen. Just like he's not looking good at all now.
But then as Thingy's like looking for, I can't remember what he's looking for, cigarette or something. Maybe, I
think he's looking for a key. In order to get, because he's still chained up. And then he finds another tape, which he listens to, which we start getting the music.
It is good.
Yeah,
that's pretty close, yeah. Hello, Mr. Hindle. You are an absolute Wally.
you're such a bloody silly sausage, and I've given you slow-acting poison. And the only way to get this answered is so complicated.
He's also the only guy who seemed to be quite nice to him in the hospital. He's like, his name is John. He's like humanizing him. And then for that, he gets bloody poisoned.
His name's John, not Jay Igsall, all right?
Yeah.
Give him a break.
What did
he do? I can't remember.
Don't think he did anything, did he?
I don't know. Pushed in front of him in the Tesco queue.
Yeah. The last kind of Heinz beans.
But again, this is so complicated because what he's done here is he's basically set up a whole thing to get this guy by having two other guys, and he wants to be there and have front row seat because obviously then we get the big reveal, which is probably the best reveal of the Saw franchise and one that they've been desperate to replicate ever since. But the biggest what the fuck moment, but I don't know if it's because I already knew it, but for some reason it felt like it was a bit of a whimper this time around. I was a bit like,
he got me this time as well. I wasn't shocked, but I was like,
imagine you were
what.
Obviously the corpse that was in the middle of the room with blood everywhere and had the gun in his hand and the tape originally is John Kramer, is the Jigsaw killer, the real Jigsaw killer. Stands up, he's got loads of gunk on his head, like to show that the fake that his brain's been blown out. So this,
he just walks out and says game over. He says to him the key was in the bathtub, but the key was tied to him, I think, so as soon as he got up it was going to go down the drain.
It went down the drain,
but I was thinking, okay, so what if he didn't go down the drain? What if he was in the bathtub and he picked it out, unlocked himself and went, right, I'm off.
Yeah.
None of these. None of this massive train of events is going to happen now.
No. It doesn't make sense. It's almost like, why even do that? Because what are you trying to prove? That, oh, you were so close to surviving. And actually, it was right at the beginning that you all fucked it up. It's like, yeah. There's so many chances. There are so many scenarios where this goes wrong for Jigsaw. I reckon if there were, you know, like in Infinity War, where Doctor Strange says he saw 3 million different versions of it and they only won once. Yeah. I honestly reckon there are 3 million different versions of this happening where Jigsaw actually wins. And this is the one.
Yeah.
Every other one.
They get the bullet and they're like, I don't think this gun works properly. Let's test it on this body. It's dead anyway.
Yeah, that is that's perfect. Yeah. Well, his brains are even blown out. I've always wanted to blow someone's brains out. And his brains are already blown out.
Can so blow him
if
back
I put another bullet. If I put another one in his head and he would go, no, don't do it. No.
I would have tickled his feet just to make sure he was dead. Also, like,
what if he guffed?
Someone
his belly saw.
Adam.
They blame each other as well, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
That was you. No, that was you. Well, it wasn't me. I know my own body.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be good if Jigsaw got a bit more involved throughout and was like, I hate you, Dr. Gordon. Yeah, and then he's like, yeah. What did you just say?
God, you really stink.
What?
Do I?
Well, you put your hand in a bloody shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's cool, though. I mean, a lot of these kind of things are very difficult to make airtight, especially when they're this windy. But it does work, and it does get you. It got me this time. And the first time I saw it, it blew my brains out.
Yeah. Very effective at the time, and I've always looked back on it fondly. I think now my love of it has been tainted somewhat by the sequels, that going back to it and looking at it, too much of them, to the point where I'm like, some of the things that work really well in this film feel overdone just because I've seen them in the sequel. So not to this film's detriment, but, you know,
okay,
that's how it makes me feel about it. At the same time, I think I'm done with this franchise. I don't think I'd want to see another Saw film. Nothing would come out though. I go, I want to see that.
You're not going to see Spiral. Film. You're not interested in seeing Spiral.
And now I've said that, I think I probably will have to. But you know, I'm not going to want to do it. I just will have to for the good of mankind.
So it ends with the Jigsaw killer saying, "Game over," and leaving Adam in the bathroom to die. So there's something. So the ending, it should be a bit neater. We don't know what happens to Gordon at the end. It would be nice to have. I think the reason is because if he was to survive, like, there's no way to finish this film, actually, because if he survived, he would be like, there's a guy in the bathroom just down that place. Go and get him out because he's going to die in there. But that's the kind of the true ending, because he's going to die just because he beats the game, gets out, and then just dies because he, like, of blood loss, which is kind of a fizzly out ending. So there's no way, you can't win in this film. I think they have done the best that they could for this ending.
I think we find out a bit more about Adam's fate in the second film, I believe.
Isn't he just like a corpse
or third? One of them. I can't remember, but I think that's what we find out. It might just be a corpse. But Lawrence Gordon, I think we pick up where we left off in one of the very later sequels, possibly Saw 3D.
Yeah.
I think I read somewhere. Again, I haven't seen it, so I might be completely wrong, but it definitely happens later on. So
yeah,
there we go. And obviously, without wanting to spoil too much, so if you're not seen any of the Saw franchise, just turn the episode off right now. But Amanda Young, who's the survivor of the Jigsaw thing, has got she's very key to the second and the third movie, where she's essentially Jigsaw's apprentice, and she's happy that he taught her a lesson and made her value her life, and now she's like, I'm going to help you set up all your traps and take care of you now you're dying of cancer.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I've got some name game for you. I think I kind of put them together quite hastily, so... See my
okay.
Well, let's just see how okay.
Name game last week, Georgie was on it to the point where, like, usually Usually, I walk away with it.
You practice, you put the hours in.
Every night.
Yeah.
I do. It's like a rocky me training sequence.
Just doing those different name games.
Yeah.
Okay. So, the name game, for the listeners, if you're not listening before, I'm going to describe a film, and the name will kind of be very similar or rhyme with the name of this film. So number one, this is a great film. It's about a guy who wakes up next to his alpha, beta, gamma brother tied up in a bathroom with a stonking hangover. So, it's about a guy who wakes up next to his alpha, beta, gamma brother tied up in a bathroom with a stonking hangover.
What was it called?
This is, I don't even know if this works. But you might find a better one, actually.
Well, I can't think of the word. It's on the tip of my tongue. Can you say it, please?
Bruh.
B-R-U-H, but you've got B-R-A-W. I would have never got that in a million years, Luke.
Okay.
We could have kept that this forever.
Not
you know when they say,
for, yeah.
You know when they say when you give.
Well, you know they say
infinite amount of monkeys.
Get the shit out of the way first is what I was going to.
All right, I'll let you off with that one.
Yeah. Okay. Number two. It's about a man who wakes up tied up in a bathroom next to a fucking crow, and it keeps going on and on and on and on.
The Core.
Core.
You know, Core is like it's quite a Southwest Bristolian thing that a lot of people say. I'd have to say, like, I guess it's like sort of like a wow, like Core.
Yeah, Core Blimey.
Core, look at him. Core. But. Not Core Blimey, though. That's not Bristolian.
It is Core Blimey, but without the Blimey. Sure. Core.
Yeah, but Bristolian is Core. Arca-E. You ever heard that?
Arca-E. You might have said it.
Arca-E.
I thought you'd stub your toe or something.
Core. Arca-E. Which means, wow, look at him.
Oh, I thought you were saying the Arca-E. Press the Arca-E.
Yeah.
Okay, so this other film. It's about a man who wakes up in a bathroom and he hates potato salad, especially with cabbage and either mayonnaise or some sort of vinaigrette. But this evil genius guy said, unless he eats this bunch of cold vegetable salad, he isn't allowed to go home.
To be fair, that sounds horrible. Like, that's horrific. The slaw.
Yeah, slow.
I mean, I don't know if I could do that. If there was like a whole bucket there, I had to get through it before I would die.
It depends, because there's a lot of bad coleslaw. But if you go to like a really good coleslaw. American barbecue type place, they have slaw on the side. It's normally a lot better.
Okay.
This other film, it's about a man who wakes up in Arkansas, and he has no idea how he got how to get home because he keeps asking people how to get home from Arkansas, but nobody knows what they're talking about.
Arkansas. How do you say it? Arkansas. Yeah. How do I get to Arkansas? Never heard of it, mate. Never heard of it.
Okay, last one then. It's about a man who wakes up in the sea and he's tied to a shark. And unless he comes to terms with his personal shortcomings, the shark won't let him go.
Personal shortcomings?
Well,
you said shark.
Yeah.
Jaw is just in my head. But that's not right, is it? Is it jaw?
Yeah.
Oh, first. Okay.
Yeah,
it's easy as that. Most of the time.
Pretty quickly.
I think, despite the fact, I think you should be proud. They're all pretty solid. Except that first one.
What? Bro.
I'm joking. Bro.
Yeah.
Bro.
Okay. All right. I need to rate the film. I'll tell you what. Okay. I'm going to rate it for you. And then you tell me if I got it right for what you were going to say. Well, it's a good film, not going to lie. It's pretty good. I mean, Arca-E, look at the bad bits of it, though. And it's not as good as I remember. It's a bit too widdly-waddly. I'm going to give it a C minus. And my name's Ben.
Widdly-waddly.
Is that right?
Yeah, I'll give you that. I was thinking C, but then I think I summed it up just now without needing to sum it up again. Which is why, yeah. And then, what about you, Luke? Do you want me to do you, or are you doing you?
Do me, and then...
I'm going to do an accent.
No, I'm going to
do an accent. I'm going to say, for some... I'm Luke Condor, and what I usually do is I listen to what you rate it, and then I purposely rate it a little bit more.
Let's see.
With a K, all right. I'm going to rate this film slightly higher than you rate it, Ben, because for some reason I want to seem more impartial, or a little bit more positive. So I'll let you go first and slate the film, and then I'll come in and go, oh, actually, I think it's all right. I'm going to give it a, but I reckon you'll give it a, I reckon you'll be quite a bit more generous. I reckon you're going to say C plus, just when you're thinking back to your old dodgy DVD days. And I think you had a nice memory there of a dodgy DVD.
Yeah.
So C plus.
I was thinking B minus, but you've convinced me.
Jesus.
You playing me have convinced me that it's too much.
Yeah, I would have done an accent, but I don't know. I might need a bit of practice.
Have I got an accent? I don't think I've got an accent.
No comment. I've definitely got an accent, mate. Here we are. All right, mate. Yeah, there we go. Arky, it's a C minus and a C plus, and together that's a nice round C. C for Saul.
Yeah, Arkansas.
C. Arkansas. There we go.
Okay, yeah. So thanks for listening. Next week we.
So next week we're doing The Mist.
Are we gonna do black and white?
Is there a black and white version?
Oh, yeah. That's the director's intended version, black and white.
Let's do that, then. If I can find that version, then let's do that. Andy Conduit Turner is going to join us again. He's had a few weeks off. He's been busy. He's been directing the Halloween Horrors of Old Mill Lane, which goes live again. I was about to say in 5 minutes, but that's when we're recording it. So if you listen to this podcast on Wednesday the 28th of October, it goes live to episode 4 goes live tonight at 9 p.m. Don't miss it.
Just realized it's 5 to 9. Okay, we better wrap up then pretty quick because we've got somewhere to be. So thanks for listening. If you enjoyed, become a patron over at patreon.com/hawkandcleaver. Thanks to Kovac Camera for our theme music. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Thanks to the listeners. Go join the Facebook group Horror Hangout Board Advice. Thanks to my co-host Ben for being a right horror dude.
Thank you very much, Luke. It's been an absolute pleasure, as always.
Alright, catch you in a bit. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.